But let's open our Bibles, going back into the Song of Solomon, chapter 4. And we dove into chapter 4 last week, and we saw here that the bridegroom continued on, making it even more known how altogether beautiful she is to him. And I think that's so sweet, even to take in our natural lives, brothers, how important it is to always, again, and I pray it's in sincerity, let your wife know that she is beautiful and more beautiful all the time. And I thank the Lord how Jesus does that with us, and we need it, don't we? Because we're very insecure. We're quick to unbelief, but he abides faithful. We're quick to condemn ourselves often, but he abides faithful. And his word is always there. It's quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it just cuts it all away. And I thank the Lord, again, how he loves us. But again, making us know that we're so beautiful to him, he does it moment by moment. If we'll just give an ear, if we'll let the Spirit have us and our attention to tell us what Jesus Christ is to us and what, again, he has for us and how much he loves us. And this is the Spirit speaking to us, and praise God, this precious Song of Solomon. And I pray we understand it's not just a story of long ago, it's the story that's going on right now. And it is, it's a continuing story, and I thank God that it's the story of the ages. It's the love story of Jesus Christ and his bride. But see, we battle in our mind. The fiery darts of the devil, the lies of the enemy, will tell us often that we're not good enough, that we're too big a failure. The enemy's right there to always tell you you're a hypocrite. So how could Christ be so in love with you? But he is. But he is. This is my personal testimony, and I believe it's yours too. It's moment by moment, the battle rages always, and most of the time it's right in here. And I thank God that this is the mind that reigns by his grace in me. There's a battle, but I'll tell you what, nothing can stand against the will of God. And I thank the Lord, it's for us. And if he be for us, who could be against us? But brothers and sisters, that he loves us so will never change. He will keep on loving us with everything he has forever. You know, I've said that to some people, and they say, well, if that's the case, why does it really matter what I do? Well, it matters everything. It really does. And see, everything is contingent on that love. And that he loves me beyond really does matter, and his intense love never changes. But what I receive of his love and what I believe of his love and allow it to change me from glory to glory and to grow me up for him, that's everything. That is everything. Believing in the love of Christ for me, so personally to me, personally to you, as the word of God is so sweetly summed up many times, I think none better than Paul being encouraged of the Lord that we would know the love of Christ. To know it. I mean, that's the will of God, that we would know the love of Christ. And we just sit there in awe of that. Lord, it's just so immense. How could we know it? Well, by him, by his Spirit, by the power of his might. Because he wants us to know his love. And brothers and sisters, I will tell you this. It's not on him. He can't be blamed. He never changes. He is not moved. We are always apprehended by him. But see, the change only comes in us when we apprehend his love, when we apprehend him. That word apprehend in Philippians 3:12, it means to make your own. See, we can know things. We can recite things. We can quote things better than any Christian there ever could be. But if it's not my own, I'm not really apprehending he who has apprehended me all the time. And God help us to understand this. This is the preeminent love. God help it that the Lord would be the preeminent love in our life. And when that really happens, brothers and sisters, that's where this Song of Solomon comes so personal to us. It's truly as if Jesus, you and me are the only ones in love. You know what I'm saying? I hope I could. Everyone could say that all around here. I said, I know the Lord loves you, but we've got something special. And that's what he wants you to know that you have with him, is you have the most special lover there could ever be, and he is your own. I don't know how he does it, but that's why he's called God. And but he does, and not just make us feel that we're his own, we are his own. And I thank the Lord for this, that truly I sat at that table for two, and when you gaze in the eyes of your lover, it doesn't matter how many people are in the room, they're all gone. You're the only two that remain. And praise be to God, that's what's going on here as we move on. Let's go to verse 6 in chapter 4. Until the day break and the shadows flee, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Now, again, this is the bridegroom speaking to her. So after he has told her how much he loves her and how absolutely ravished she is, she has made him, it's honey, but the best part of all, it's not going to be long. We will soon be together. I pray that we hear that every single day. Brothers and sisters, that is part of our abounding hope, is Jesus, are you coming today? Are you coming? Will you come? Father, will you please send my bridegroom today? And this is the bridegroom calling out, until the day break. I love that. And I hope you understand this. I mentioned it last week, but that day break, it literally means until the day of the blast. That's how that's interpreted. So until the day of the blast, and I believe the only blast I can hear right now is the trumpet blow. And I believe that, again, that's the voice of the archangel. That's that precious voice that's going to say, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Thank you, Jesus, how he gives us over and over in the Word of God the encouragement. I'm coming for you, honey, and praise the Lord. The shadows flee away, as it says here, that time of only light, until then, my love. And I'll tell you, until the daybreak, I hope you can hear the yearning in our Savior's voice. Until that day, honey, until that day. Now, it says there, as it follows on, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. So, again, this speaking of the suffering that Jesus Christ took for us on Calvary, and through that suffering, how he was tested and tried in every point, in everything that we would ever face, and that in that he has ascended to the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us, and praise God, that's what fully backs us. And I thank God that in going to the right hand of the Father, he sent us the Holy Ghost. He sent us the Comforter. He sent us the one that can take this Song of Solomon and make it mine and make it ours. Hallelujah. That it becomes my own. And praise God, that is my comfort. And I am abiding, I am waiting, I'm enduring by the grace of God till, again, the shadows flee. And someday soon, if you'll turn with me over to 1 Corinthians 15, oh, I love this portion of Scripture. Someday soon, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now we say that now, and we know that now, and we stand upon that now. But I understand death still has a sting right now. But praise the Lord, someday, soon, hallelujah, that's all going to be over. Now going back to chapter 4 and verse 7, the bridegroom goes on and says, thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. Notice how, again, the completeness of the Word of God, and how complete he is in his love to you, and how completely ravished he is with you. as he says, he doesn't just say that they're fair. He says, you're all fair. And these words are so meaningful. And what he's, again, is he's jostling her. He says, now listen, you. Hear me, lover. You're all fair. You're completely beautiful is what he's saying. You don't even have a bad side. I was at a wedding recently, and the bride had to get on the right side, you know, so you could see her best side. And I looked at her, and I said, you know, honey, I don't see that side. I only see a good side. But she was thinking, well, I got to look this way and that way. But see, this is what the bridegroom's telling you all the time. Quit that. Stop that. You're beautiful. In that infirmity, that's the most ravishing thing to me there could ever be. Because you have the need of me. Praise God. And I thank the Lord as he brings this to us. But see what he's saying here in this all fair. It also means complete. The Lord is saying here, my bride, my wife, completes me. This is the fulfillment, brothers and sisters, of what fills the all in us in Christ, that fills us with all the fullness of God when we receive Paul's gospel. This is what happens to our lives when we receive Paul's gospel. Oh, people say, well, I don't believe that. You mean Jesus isn't complete without his bride? No, he's not complete without his bride. He's not even taken the throne without his bride. As he's told us even in the Song of Solomon, I have no kingdom without my bride. Amen? Again, this isn't a story. This is your life with him if you'll take it. There are ones that are going to take this place with him. And he wants it to be you. He died for it to be you. He rose for it to be you. He sent the Holy Ghost for it to be you. Now look what he says. If you don't believe me, and I don't want you to believe me, I want you just to believe the Word of God. As it says here in Colossians chapter 1, and in verse 25, he says it very, I love how Paul brings this forth. He says, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God. I am the overseer. I am the housekeeper of the gospel, the mystery of Jesus Christ and his bride. Just what we were talking about on Sunday morning. This is the domestic, the one who brought this forth, the chosen vessel unto God. What I have been given has been hidden from the sons of men, from the prophets, from the angels. They all wanted to look into it, but God gave it to me for you to see. And here it is. And here's what it'll do if you'll take it, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And that means to complete the word of God. And I believe that you can insert for the word of God, you can use the word and the name Jesus. To complete Jesus. This is who she is. This is what he's waiting for. This is the moment that all of creation is groaning for. The manifestation of the sons of God. And I thank the Lord that he's brought this to us to see. This fair goes on to mean bright. It also means clear to the light, fully transparent. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the glorious church. Not just the church, but the glorious church of Ephesians 5:27. As it says there, there's no blemish. She's perfect. There's no wrinkle. There's nothing folded. Praise God, there is, as it says here in verse 7 of chapter 4 of Song of Solomon, there is no spot in thee. There's nothing lacking. To a perfect man. How wonderful, complete in him. Now, verse 8, he says to her at this time, so come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana. From the top of Shinir and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Praise God, it's changing now. Come away with me. Brothers and sisters, we'll only go with him when we go with him. Does that make sense? You don't go with him when you go your own way. You don't go with him when you lay your tracks and say, well, I know God's going to be in this. You go with God when you go with him. And I thank the Lord that he's showing her, he even wants more of her. He wants her only for him. And brothers and sisters, he is now taking her to a higher place. He has taken her to the place of my spouse. This is the first time he has called her this. He's offering this place to you at this time. If we will suffer together with him, we shall also reign together with him. And we will be glorified together with him. Amen? So this is coming to pass here. And as we will see in verse 8, and stay with this because this is such a precious moment again in this love story between the two of what he is offering to her and what he is offering to us at this time. And we must realize that the heights of everything to our Lord for us on this earth is the trying of our faith, is our willingness to suffer together with him. Amen? You think about that in the Word of God. That's the only time he says about jointly reigning and ruling together with him. It's the only time where he says, I'll tell you what, if you'll suffer with me, you'll reign with me. There's something so beautiful. There's something so perfecting. There's something that brings such evidence in the willingness for our lives to suffer together with Jesus. Amen. And it's very evident. And here it is evident in verse 8, where he now wants to take her, the place of suffering together with him. And brothers and sisters, even in our lives, we know this. Only a spouse will go into this type of suffering with her lover. You won't go if you're not truly in love. You won't go that way, that distance, that intensity with somebody unless you're truly, truly ravished and in love with them. This is the proving ground, brothers and sisters. And notice where he takes her from. Lebanon is a wonderful place in its type. It's the place of the brightness, the whiteness, the glory, the comfort, the happy place. This even speaks of, in a sense of, again, what we know we will have with the Lord. What he was witnessing to her in the end of the third chapter of Song of Solomon, where he speaks to her and says, honey, I'm coming for you in that chariot. I'm going to take you away. We're going to go to that place where we're never going to be bothered again. The place, praise God, where that smoke fills the temple and the priests got to even get out of there. But he's saying, my love, my fair one, we're not there yet. We love this thought, this abounding. But now we're going to have to go on. There's heights that I need to take you to. There's things that you're going to need to experience. There's suffering that needs to come forth in your life that will prove the love of God in your life. Brothers and sisters, he never wants us to plateau. Never. There's always, in every breath, every day, there's the much the more in Jesus. And I thank God for that. And I thank the Lord for those that have encouraged us over the years, that there's always more light upon light. He wants her to have more vision. Just as Paul says that we talked about a little bit earlier in Philippians chapter 3. He says, you know what? I haven't already attained. I haven't already been made perfect. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to go apprehend. I hope to apprehend that I may apprehend that wonderful Jesus Christ who's been apprehending me all the time. That's the mark. That's the prize. That I may win Jesus. Hallelujah. and look with me, he says. That's how he starts this. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana. See, you have to have this vision. You have to have this perspective, brothers and sisters. This overcoming height. These heights. There's five mountaintops that we're going to address right now. And this first one is Amana. Five. Count them up. Grace. Amen. There's five places that she has to have the vantage point for. And we're going to notice after she goes through all five of them, oh, he's just ravished beyond. She's got him completely. It's so wonderful how this is. But see, brothers and sisters, he must take her there. And she must have a vision of this. And God help us to really look from these vantage points. And we can't hurry through this. For this is the place that we really become his spouse. Not just a lover, as he's called her before. For the first four up to the fourth chapter, he has called her my fair one, my love, my lover, all of these things. But now he calls her my spouse. Now first, the first peak he takes her to is Amana. And that means the settled place, the sure place, the foundation where all the waters that flow out. See, that's where he can really begin to really work with our lives, brothers and sisters. This is the place of grace and nothing but grace. This is the place, praise God, where we finally believe that we are his workmanship. The place where we really become dependent. Lord, you will perform the good work which you have begun in me. The place, Jesus, I understand now, you are the author and finisher of my faith. This is the place of complete dependence on our Lord. This is the place of complete infirmity so that the power of Christ rests upon us. This is the place, Lord, I know I can do nothing, but you do everything. Now we can begin, honey. Now you can grow. Because the only place we can grow, amen, is grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the first mountain that he takes her to, the first height of heights, is this Amana, which is the place. This is where all the waters flow from. This is the place, brothers and sisters, of the full overcomer. This is the place we see that his grace is the sufficiency in our lives for everything. Everything. This is the place where we really begin to be ready to suffer with Jesus. This is the place where the lover will become the warrior. Amen. She's a lover and she's a fighter. And she's going to fight. He's going to prove his love in her by the good fight of faith that she is going to fight and going to fight every moment. And this is the place that she now enters in with him. I get excited reading about this stuff. I say, Lord, thank you, Jesus. You're performing this in my life. These are the things that you're bringing my brothers and sisters to. Praise God, I see you going there. All by the grace of God. And you look a little battered, praise the Lord. You look a little torn. You look pretty scarred. Oh my goodness, you're starting to look a lot like Jesus. Like him. And see, brothers and sisters, once we see that he's the all-sufficient grace, that's when we're ready for the next peak that he takes us to. Atop of Amana, from the top of Shinir. Shinir is the place of the armor. Really emphasizing here in this armor is the place of the breastplate. That we are all sure it's him and settled, and now we bear the breastplate of righteousness. When we really take on the grace of God, there's a desire in our life and a thankfulness. Lord, I only want to be found in your righteousness. I only want to magnify you. I only, by God's grace, want people to see Jesus, that this life is transparent. You must increase, Lord, and I must decrease. Only grace could bring that. Only the place from where all of the waters flow, that first mountaintop, could bring me to this place. Lord, it's you and your righteousness. That's what must be seen. Praise be to God. They knew they were with Jesus. Now this place, is found only in his righteousness. This place, praise God, of the Shinir, is not one jot or tittle of us. This place is where we begin to understand that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Amen? That's the life that lives in you. That's the life, praise God, that you want to have magnified in you. And what a fully prepared warrior we can now start to become in this absolute protection of the all-sufficient grace of God, in that we take on the whole armor of God. Amen? It's all Him. It's all His righteousness. It's the place where, Lord, I will take the whole armor of God. You are worthy. And in that, you live in me. And now I am a son of God. I gladly take the armor, Father. I take it all. And I know it protects me completely. I'm ready to fight. I'm ready for this fight of faith. And that's the next mount that he takes us to, brothers and sisters. That's Hermon. It means devotion. Sometimes we think, oh my goodness, praise God. I understand it's all grace. I understand, Lord, it's all your righteousness. I'm ready to fight. But he says, oh no, not yet. There's the third mount that you need to go to be ready. Hermon means devotion. Think of that, devotion. How beautiful this is. We have the full armor of God at Shinir, but we're not ready to fight, not without devotion. I was thinking here recently how they've said about the fighters or the army of Iraq, and they are very equipped. They have lots of gear. They have all the modern stuff. But here came an army in, and no matter that they had all of that gear, they fled. And they said that they fled because they didn't have the devotion to fight. That breaking through? God help us, amen. Because we get weary, don't we? But he says, oh honey, don't get weary in well-doing. It isn't even worthy to be mentioned with the glory that shall be revealed in you. It's not even worthy to be compared when I make known to all that I have loved thee. Praise you, Jesus. See, brothers and sisters, we need devotion. We need true love to set in our lives. Amen? We become settled. We understand where all of the water flows from, all that grace. We are fully armored, and now, praise God, by His grace, He brings us that love by the Holy Spirit. That devoted soldier, now we are ready to fight. Turn over to 6:12 of Ephesians, Ephesians 6:12. Let's read about now what we are ready to fight. Let's understand now why he has to take us to the heights to fight this battle. Because in Ephesians 6:12, he tells us, as we take on this whole armor of God, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Now think of this, brothers and sisters. Isn't that what most Christians think they're fighting against? This cause and that cause and this man and this group and this here and this there. You've missed it all. You've missed it all. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know what we battle for? All the time. Lord, help my unbelief in the grace of God. Isn't that the truth? Because, see, we've already won. We know that the victory has already been won. Amen, we do. And you know it. You know that in Christ, praise the Lord, I can do all things. All things. It's all there. Mountain be removed. He parts seas. He does all these things. But that fight, brothers and sisters, to stand and withstand and having it all to stand in the grace of God. That's the upright walk. Praise God. That's where all the waters flow from. To just stand in that. That's what the spiritual wickedness wants to fight. That's the high places that the battle's going on. This is why the Lord takes us to this height of heights. This is where we find the fourth mount, which is, as it says back there in the Song of Solomon, the lion's dens. Huh. I thought, Lord, if I was your spouse, you were taking me on the Lotus Land of Ease. I thought we were going to the Ritz-Carlton or, you know, at least to Sheraton. Oh, no, honey. We're going to the best place. We're going right to the lion's dens. You're ready now. This is where it gets good, honey. This is where the only place you're coming out of the wilderness with me. Remember I told you back in chapter 3 how it's going to be when I come and I take you away? When I capture you into my arms, into that chariot, and we're gone? This is how it happens. This is where you'll go with me. And oh, to look in your lover's eyes. I was thinking about that one that went with Jonathan to battle. All those guys thought he was nuts. But there was that one looking at Jonathan. Oh, I'll go anywhere you want to go. I believe in the confidence in God in you. Isn't that how it is with Jesus? As we go along with him, oh, Lord, the lover of my soul, I believe in you. I'm confident completely in you. By the grace of God, we'll go to these heights. We'll go into the heights of the lion's den. And notice it's dens, not just one. This is a mountain range, but we'll just call it one. The place of the roaring, the place of the fierce. You go to the next one where it says, even from the mountains of leopards. And notice it's mountains. The leopards, even though the leopard is spotted, believe it or not, it means stripes. Suffering, the stripes with him, the stripes that he took, suffering together with Christ. It means to filter, pressed. Amen? This is the place. This is the only place that the Lord has for us for true love. It is. We're going to face fierce things. We're going to face the spiritual wickedness in high places. But praise be to God, this is the place where he proves the height, the depth, the length, the breadth, the width of his love in us. You'll fight on when we really take his love. I praise God. There's so much more even in here, brothers and sisters. But again, we're going through as quickly as the Spirit will allow us. But then, by going, she only gets more beautiful to him. You'll notice here in verse 9, she's no longer just a love, but oh my, no longer just a spouse, no longer just a fair one, but honey, you have ravished my heart. You've ravished me. Let's go ahead and read this part where, and this ravishing we're going to read, it literally means my heart races for you. I mean, if you still can't get the picture of all the young roe heart and everything I've told you, my heart races for you. When you take this place with me, when you go here with me, I'm completely gone, honey. It's all yours. Like when Esther stepped out in front of the king. What'd you say? It's just all yours, honey. Whatever you said, it's done. It's ours together. And here's verse 9. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thy eyes, with one chain of thy neck. Not only a spouse, but there's a double portion of ravishing here. He has to say it twice, that you've ravished my heart. You've ravished my heart. She is his sister and his spouse. How wonderful. This word sister means the same father. And praise be to God, we're all the sons of God. We have the same father. Amen? So she is his sister and, praise God, his spouse. See, there is the double portion once again that we've been reading all the way through here. She is Christ's double portion, the spouse. And there's even another layer in this word spouse. If you'll look it up, it means daughter-in-law. Yes, it does. That word in the Hebrew, it means daughter-in-law. So not only are we a double portion to Jesus, we're a double portion to the Father. He's our Father, and by the grace of God, if we'll grow up into Christ in all things, we become his daughter-in-law. How much do you want, huh? As I read through this all the time, it's that same old adage, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. And they'll never be exhausted. They never will. Because this word cannot be exhausted. Again, this is the only thing that will be forever. So again, as you sit there with it tonight and you're meditating, as we're chewing on this, Lord Jesus, what is in here? People say, oh, we just scratched the surface. We're just looking in a glass darkly. Get it? To begin to scratch, that's going to take a body like unto his own. Praise God. So brothers and sisters, this is where we go with him. This is what we become to him as we go upon those five mountain peaks, as we go to those heights. And notice here he says, you've ravished me with one. Just with one. Notice how he emphasizes this. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes. Just one. Just a little bat. Isn't that something? No, don't look at me. I'm melting. I'm looking at you through the lattice. I'm not the eye on the dollar bill. I'm that young royal heart that's just ravished. Can you remember back those goofy days in junior high? Maybe they continued to high school. I don't know. Were they just googly-eyed? Whether it was at you or you were doing it somebody else? Isn't he a wonderful God? Here, if you don't get it this way, get it this way. I'll bring it to you and I'll serve it to you every way I can. What will you take? I love you so. I'm completely smitten with you. Please believe me. I'm not messing around. And I think it's so beautiful because as he emphasizes one bat of his eye and one chain of her neck, just how huge and immense grace is. He's not looking for a lot from you. Grace does it all. I take that from this. I take from this, you've been faithful in a few things, honey. I'm going to make you ruler over many. We're always looking to hit home runs and The Lord says, honey, don't despise the day of small things. I look on the heart. I know you. I know you. So it's just one bat of her eye. All he wants us to do is to have an eye that is fixed on the mercy seat. Amen. The cherubim looking at the blood always. The grace. That's from where all the waters flow. A face set like a flint for him. How he loves us. And then the one chain of the neck. You know, we've been in this a long time. And I thank God we've been here a long time. But if you remember back in just verse 4 of chapter 4, just a few verses ago, where it talks about the neck, her neck is like the Tower of David. Do you remember that that was the tower where the armory is? And do you remember that that Tower of David was built specifically on the most weak part of the wall? The most infirm part was that neck built. Again speaking of the power of Christ resting upon us in that most infirm part. When we're infirm, in our infirmities, is where we're loaded with power. That's where all the armory comes in. You understand? Because that's when the power of Christ rests upon us. When you don't have any more of your bullets, which were no bullets, you thought you had a gun, but you didn't. And this is what God gave. The very power of his might in the infirmity. He is wonderful, isn't he? How he explains these things to us in his word. I'm so grateful to God. But see, again, this is the place of the lookout, the place of the armory. One chain. Just one chain of that neck. Thou hast a little strength. Just a little strength. And you've overwhelmed me. How precious is faith to God. Every stand for the truth, he's overwhelmed. Verse 10. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? Notice he says it again, doesn't he? He's emphasizing this. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices? So what he's magnifying here is her love. Not her works, not her efforts, not even her looks anymore. It's her love. It's her love. Because why? Because he's taken her to that mount, those five places, that complete grace. Now he's ravished with the glory that she has become to him. Now she's got light because it's all him. Oh, Jesus. See, she's not just beautiful. She's beautiful beyond. This love that she has now is radiant to him. Her light, her glory to him. My sister, my spouse. Notice he says here, thy love is better than wine. And wine always speaks of joy. The wine speaks of the Holy Ghost. But here it's speaking of our love, giving him the greatest joy, giving him the greatest ecstasy. In her love to him, he is ravished. The wine does speak of the Holy Ghost. And only by the fullness of the Holy Ghost in our lives can we transform into this all-pleasing vessel to him. And what does the Holy Ghost do? He takes the love of God and he sheds it abroad in our hearts, doesn't he? Oh, amen, amen, amen. That's why I want every attribute of the Holy Ghost going on in my life as much as lies within me. Amen? So that's why I will still encourage you always. As Brother Paul says, I'm glad I speak more than they all. Don't put a damper on that. Don't quench that spirit. Don't. Don't let ones that have gone after strange fire scare you. Important stuff. David was so in love, he was willing to dance in his skivvies before the Lord, before everybody. Huh? He didn't care. He knew his heart before God. It was sincere. He wasn't trying to be a spectacle. But the Lord called him out, David, do you love me? Do you love me, David? Oh, Lord, I love you so much, I got to dance. And it's got to be now. Hmm? That's how I want to live my life. How about you? Amen? All right. Goes on to say that her aroma, these ointments, how sweet they are to him, how altogether lovely, they're more than all the spices, any riches, anything you could give him. This ointment, the aroma of it, speaks of the worshiping. The worshiping, the worshiping, the worshiping. See, and take that, brothers and sisters, because that's the four living ones. Those are the ones that you see in Revelation that truly are the only company that reigns with him in the midst of the throne, that sit in that throne together with him. And the one thing that that company is always doing that no other company is said like that throughout the Revelation, they're worshipers. They worship him and worship him. And never forget what that word worship means. To draw nigh in fervent love to kiss. Amen? Amen. Naturally speaking, I've only got one in my life that I do that with. And that's my spouse. That's exactly what this is. This is the spouse talk. This is, you talk about love language. This is the lover language. Fervent love to kiss. And this overwhelms him. This place of the sweet-smelling sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And we'll end it with this. But see, nothing can express truly as that sweet woman that anointed his feet there. As he said to her, ones or critics, in a couple different places, as he said it the one time, leave her alone, she's chosen the better place. As he said it another way, well, I'll tell you what, this sweet one has not for one moment ceased in washing and wiping my feet with her tears. Brothers and sisters, this is the place in our lives of thankfulness. Have you gotten to the place that really, sometimes the only word that really gets it all to the Lord for me is thank you. Thank you so much. No more whys. I got you. But I still say thank you. Because I know it was your grace that brought this to my life. I know that it was your grace that enlightened the eyes of my understanding to lay hold of this. I know it was your grace that happened to have my mom and a man that said, you know what, I want to marry you. I love your daughter too. And that man was given the whole counsel of God. He could have brought it another way, but it had to be that way. And I say, thank you, Jesus. And I've seen a lot of people come and go in my life. But something stuck in mine, and all I can say is thank you, Jesus. And I know a lot of folks that aren't here tonight, and I'd love them to be here tonight, but I'm here tonight, and all I can say is thank you, Jesus. I know he's coming for me. I know he did it all. I know that, Lord, the sweetest smell of incense there could ever be, the greatest evidence of the most holy faith in my life, the most evidence there could ever be of the joy unspeakable and full of glory in my life, is in all things to say, thank you, Jesus. And I mean it, Lord, in all sincerity. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.